Welcome back to Warrior Movie Rental. I'm Kennedy, and today I'm joined by a special guest, Mr. Salemi.
Special? I'm a special guest? Just a guest?
I would say so.
All right.
Today we'll be reviewing and sharing our thoughts on the hit movie Scream from 2022, a horror movie that inspired tons of other movies with its bone-chilling story and unexpected events. Let's get started.
Yeah, let's.
You've watched the Scream 2022?
I went to the movie theater and saw Scream. Now, when you say Scream 2022, are we talking about Scream the original, right?
No, we're talking about 2022.
No. And I'm guessing Cashner has set you up to say something like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to throw me a curveball. No, we're talking about the original, like 1996, I think is when it originally came out.
Yeah.
Okay. Not 2022.
No.
Because that could have been like a re-release for everyone who didn't see it the first time, maybe.
Right. And I didn't, I mean, I think I watched like 10 minutes of that movie, and I don't know why it's named Scream, not like Scream with the number or Roman numeral. It just throws me off.
I agree. And it's not bad. It's just Scream, it's an original. Like, there is no horror movie like the original Scream. That's why it's such a fan favorite film. There's never been, it's groundbreaking in so many ways and broke the mold. And I feel it's kind of weird that they did Scream 2, Scream 3, Scream 4, a reboot. And I don't know. I give Wes Craven credit because he did kept messing with the genre and he sort of was poking fun of the genre and himself at times. But the first one is just really, really amazing.
I think, yeah, I really like the first one. It's probably my favorite. And I didn't like how they kept going on and on with the movies because the original actor leaves too.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't being, like, paid enough, I think. Or something like that.
Neve Campbell dropped out, I think, the last one or the second to last one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's coming back, though. Uh-huh. I think there's, like, another one coming now, and she's in that one. I get confused by it all. My younger son, Enzio, he kind of keeps me on track as to where the timeline is at. But I think Neve Campbell's coming back. Could be wrong, though. Wouldn't be the first time.
I know Matthew Lillard's also coming back.
Yeah.
Stu, I don't know how that's going to work.
I don't either, because I was pretty sure he died.
Yeah. I mean, I know Billy died, but Stu.
Yeah, they shot him in the head.
Yeah,
so
but Stu was electrocuted, like with the TV.
Right. So, again, he could be coming back, just not as, like, Matthew Lillard might be, the actor is coming back.
Right.
And for those of you who haven't seen Scream, if you've seen any of the Scooby-Doo movies, is Shaggy. But, yeah, Stu is, I love Stu.
Aside
from the fact that he's obviously one of the killers, he's hilarious in that film.
He's one of my favorites, definitely. Yeah. I like Billy, too. I just like their dynamic when we find out that they're the killers.
Yeah.
But yeah, I took some notes and I wanted to go through them and just see your thoughts on them. Did you like the intro with Drew Barrymore?
So, the intro is amazing and it's also very jarring. I guess that we went to the movie theater to watch it on Christmas Eve night. It was like a 9 o'clock showing and it was me, my girlfriend, who's now my wife, and my older brother. We went. We thought we wanted to go see a movie. We thought it'd be funny to see a horror film on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't really know anything about the movie. So those first 10 minutes, I remember after that opening scene, looking at my brother and my wife, Marie, and saying, I don't know if I can handle this for 2 hours like that. It was intense.
It really was, especially the tree when her parents found her.
Yes, yes.
Oh my gosh, that was crazy.
And it's just, first off, it wasn't advertised that Drew Barrymore was in the film.
Right.
So when it opens and she's there, you're like, oh, look, Drew Barrymore.
Right.
And then, oh, they just killed her. That's the one actress, the one person that was in the film, aside from Fonzie, Henry Winkler, the principal, that was recognizable, really. Neve Campbell was sort of.
Right.
But Drew Barrymore, and then boom, she's gone.
Her and her boyfriend.
Yes.
Gone.
Yes. Yeah. I always forget the boyfriend died first.
Yeah. Did you like the casting? Do you think like they all fit their roles?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know outside of Neve Campbell briefly, Drew Barrymore, the rest of them weren't household names by any stretch.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think the casting is amazing. Stu is perfect.
Right.
Rose McGowan, who is Neve Campbell's best friend. Dang it.
Oh, what is her name? I forgot that.
Yeah, that's the garage scene. That's just crazy.
Oh, I saw that.
Tatum. Right. Tatum yeah. And Sydney are great friends. Tatum is fantastic. David Arquette as the sort of bumbling, goofy deputy. Yeah, he seems like a pretty down-to-earth, real person. His family, I mean, he's got two sisters who are in the acting game as well. So they all kind of got more stardom than him. But yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah. Did you think they did like a good job at hiding the Ghostface killers? Like, did you expect it at all or?
No. That's the part about the movie that's so amazing and original is there's never been a horror film where there were two killers.
Right.
And there's only one when the movie was being played because I don't know why I do this, but I do this when I'm watching horror films. There's points where you're like, well, that's just dumb. Like,
right.
What? Like, why are you running upstairs? The door was right there. Why don't you just run out? And they didn't do that in Scream. Like, they fought back. They didn't just do stupid, obviously stupid things. They were trying to survive. And there was one scene when that movie was being played. I was like, they screwed it up. When Tatum walks out into the garage to get a beer, and then she walks back to the door, and the door is locked. And I thought, why is the door locked? Like, she just walked through it. Someone would have had to lock it. And then the Ghostface killer shows up in the garage. And I thought, well, yeah, they messed it up. Like, there's no reason that door would be locked. And then you realize at the end, they're working together. Exactly. So one locked her in. Yeah, no, that reveal was fantastic. And that's part of the fun about Scream is you are sort of guessing. It's kind of like a mystery. You're guessing along with them trying to figure out who is the ghost face? Like, who is doing this?
I definitely thought it was Billy for a while, and then he gets killed by Stu. We don't know it's Stu yet.
Right.
But I was just like, wait, maybe it's not him. And then when he shoots Randy, I'm like, so what's going on?
Right.
It was really confusing the first time I watched it because my older sister is a big fan of the series. And I haven't watched all of the movies. I've watched most of them. And it never, like, fails to impress me or, like, make me shocked at the reveals of who the killers are.
Yeah.
Because we would never expect them.
Yeah. Throughout the series, all the different iterations of those movies, they do a pretty good job of sort of like, surprise, here's the killer. And yeah, I thought they did so much. When Billy gets stabbed, you're like, oh, it isn't Billy.
It is.
Yeah.
And you're just going back and forth with your decisions. Yes. Did you like Gail at all, Gail Weathers?
She is, Courtney Cox is what she's supposed to be, annoying, and
right.
She is. She's very hateable as a character.
Mm-hmm.
She did what she was supposed to do as far as the movie goes, and she plays a pivotal role in that movie and in the series in general. So yeah, I enjoyed hating her as the movie unfolded.
Right. I think, like, she gets better as the series progresses, but I just didn't like her right there because she was so inconsiderate to... Sydney calling her a liar for her own story. But I mean, at the same time, you don't just tell a victim or like...
She's a child.
Right.
I mean, in the movie, she's a teenager. She's a kid. Her mom was brutally murdered. Right.
Right.
Things are different, unfortunately, to some degree, but we sort of expect journalists to be more unjournalistic, I guess. I don't know what word I'm looking for here, but she, at that time, it was more jarring because she was so insensitive. And I guess today we sort of expect that insensitivity, that people are just throwing microphones in people's faces who have suffered through tragedies and asking dumb questions of these people.
Exactly, yeah. But other than like Gail, did you like Dewey at all?
Dewey has to grow on you, I think.
Yeah, first movie is kind of dumb, not there.
Yeah, the whole bumbling. Again, he's playing a role that they want, that they need to for the story to continue the way that they were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that whole bumbling deputy, aw, shucks, shy thing that he's got going on, it is... I could have had a more forthright sheriff, somebody or deputy, somebody who was a little bit more proactive.
Yeah.
But again, between that dynamic between him and Gail, I mean, that works because it's easier for her to manipulate him because he doesn't realize he's being manipulated, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, Gail is annoying because she's supposed to be. Dewey's just sort of annoying because of how they drew up that character.
Yeah, I mean, I liked Dewey. I thought he was like a bubbly character, and he had the hots for Gale, but... I like them both. Yeah. Not Gale so much in the first movie, but as, you know, her character develops, I think she becomes a better person almost.
Yeah, I never would have expected all these different screams, but I definitely wouldn't have expected that Gale would be this reoccurring cast member. But they make it make sense as it progresses. It's just when the first time around, no. Never would have thought, oh yeah, she's going to be back.
I thought the whole point of her character was that she wasn't really on our side, more of just there being annoying.
Right. Hateable.
Right. Exactly. Right. If a killer is hunting you down, would you go to a party? I feel like, I mean, it's common sense, but I mean.
Okay, but Stu and Billy had, when they arranged the party, like they had a good hook. What safer place to be than all of us together? Like,
right.
If we're all together, it's when you go off alone and say things like, I'll be back, that they get you. So, and I never underestimate people, especially teenagers, to disregard common sense and just. What is the chances that anything bad's going to happen?
But what confused me more was just Sid also going to that party when her ex might not. I don't even know what they were at the time. I mean, you just accused of your boyfriend of trying to murder you, but then
even if you're not accusing him, she definitely thinks he may be the killer. So that part is odd,
right?
But her best friend Tatum, it was her house and she wanted Sydney to be there and we're all going to be safe together. But again, it kind of, teenagers being teenagers in horror films, they do things like that.
Did you like notice the cameos of Halloween and Nightmare on Elm Street?
Yes.
I think that's my favorite, like one of my favorite like aspects of the movie, because I mean, I've watched those movies and I like horror movies. I like the scary genre. I would say mine's like Saw. That's my favorite. Horror series, but I really liked how they cameo them in it, like when they're at the house party and they're watching Halloween and Jamie Lee Curtis is on the TV. I'm like, oh my god, I know her. It's like watching a movie through a movie. I thought that was really cool.
And there were some scenes that that they shot in Scream, like when Sydney's sitting out on her deck, that harkens back to Halloween, the way she's looking around, like there's someone right around the corner of the bushes, the tree. Now, Wes Craven, on one hand, is making fun of all of these horror films in the genre. At the same time, it's like a love letter to horror films in general.
Right.
I mean, Wes Craven created Nightmare on Elm Street. He likes horror films, and he was paying his respect to some of the great horror films with Scream.
Is there anything else you'd like to add to tell the viewers, or not viewers, listeners?
Listeners, if you haven't seen Scream, see Scream. It is a fun ride. It's original in so many ways. I know if you haven't seen Scream and you've listened to this, then we kind of spoiled it for you, but I would still...
30 years old.
Yeah. At this point, if you're in high school and you haven't seen Scream, I don't think you're probably ever going to see Scream unless you just accidentally stumble across it on TV one day.
Mm-hmm.
That said, if you haven't watched it, watch it regardless of the spoilers we gave, because it's still a fun ride. It's still hilarious. There are so many scenes. The end scene with Stu and Billy.
Right.
When they explain everything, and then when Billy is stabbing Stu, and Stu's like, oh man, I think you went too far.
Like, and he's just like dying on the table.
Then he says something like, my mom's going to be so pissed.
That was my favorite part. He's the most unserious character ever.
Yes.
While Billy's like, I'm going to kill her.
Right.
Like,
yeah, no, Stu carries that movie in so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Randy asks him, now that Sydney and Billy have broken up, you think I have a chance? He goes, No. That's great. Love it. I think I'm going to rewatch that this weekend at some point. I love Scream.
Yeah. And I think that wraps up our podcast for today. Thank you, Mr. Salemi, for joining me.
Thank you. I had a lot of fun.
Thanks. And I'll catch you in the next one. See you.
All right.